At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Thursday, January 26, 2023 edition, and we are just about done with the fourth trading week of this new year, and that means about to close up shop for the first month. And it's been a good one overall, and we've talked a bit about what those drivers are, but you have to look beyond just 1 month. You have to understand what to expect going forward. Now, you're never going to have a crystal ball, but it's about putting the odds in your favor. And what happened last month or the last 3 months should not be your barometer. And too often, that is the compass that most average investors utilize. It's called recency bias. I'm sure you've done it yourself, or you've seen people who have a 401k and they get a list of the funds that they have available, and they go, they get some sort of sheet. I've seen this dozens and dozens of times. They get some sort of performance numbers, and they just look at, okay, which ones did the best 3, 5 years, etc. And that's their process. And unfortunately, it's not a great process. But understandably, it's a process that is ill-informed, because most people are ill-informed about the market. So what this show is about is to help you get more informed, to not be one of the ill-informed many who are just winging it. It's about understanding the history of the market in context and different asset classes, and finding opportunities that fit your ultimate risk profile and your goals long term, because that's really what this is all about, is hitting those goals of financial freedom. And that's what we're here to help you do. So you've come to the right place. I'm Justin Klein, and I'm here on this radio program and podcast to help you make the most of your hard-earned capital by making good, consistent decisions with your money. So I encourage you to reach out, and you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 888-99-CHART, or during our live stream program from 4 to 5 Pacific time, you can talk to me live. Same number. Now, I've got a lot of material to discuss with you today. One is in regards to putting fear aside and focusing on valuations. Now, valuations are never a great timing mechanism, but they are a metric to help put the longer-term odds in your favor. So we're going to look at where we are today and what parts of the market, what slices of the market are, at least in the longer term, attractive enough to put the odds in your favor, or dip with odds in your favor, right? The odds in your favor doesn't mean that every time it's going to work out, but the risk versus reward there is attractive. So we're going to look at that. I also want to touch on a few other things. One is in regards to the SEC's new stance on crypto firms going public. So we're going to look at that. Also, what's happening with small businesses? Are they hiring? Are they firing? We know we've seen a lot of headlines with large, especially tech companies, just consistently laying off workers. But what about the small business? So we're going to look at that. And then also, if we have time, we're going to look at inflation and its likely path going forward. All right. So that's what we're going to touch on today's program. I also have some voice bank questions to play as well. One is about transferring cash to a Roth IRA, and then CVS Health Corp. So we got this all planned for this episode of InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART. So let's take a look at the market today. We had another positive day overall. And we are in the midst of earnings season. So in general, it's been beating expectations. Tesla had a good day after their numbers seemed to beat expectation. Amazon up about 2%, Intel up 1.3%. So overall, you had a generally good day in the market. U.S. market was up about 1.1%. Mid-cap and small caps up about 1% on the mid-cap, 0.85% on the small cap side. So one of those rare days this year where large caps actually outperformed overall. But once again, continue to be a market where upside is the name of the game, as we have liquidity being injected into the market consistently from the Treasury General account, and not a whole lot or not any debt being issued by the government to pull capital out. And that's why you're seeing some upside in the near term, most likely. So that was the market today. You had gold pulling back just a bit, the dollar getting a little bit of strength. And let's see, the VIX was down again. So still not a whole lot of indication that this recent move is headed in reverse in the short term, right? So that's the market right now. Now we're going to head to our first listener question at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Roy, and I'm calling from Fresno, California. I would like your take on the stock ENB is the symbol. That's Enbridge Energy. And I would like to know, at current prices, if you consider a buy, hold, or sell. Thank you, and I'll listen to the answer on your podcast.
All right, this is Enbridge Energy, and this is a Canadian company, one of the largest out there, with a market cap of $82 billion. That's big for a Canadian company. And they own a pipeline, one of the largest pipelines in Canada, to move oil sands as well as natural gas. And they also are Canada's largest natural gas distribution company, and they also own a regulated natural gas utility. So fairly diversified energy name, but it's also a utility. And that's the issue here, is it's not pure play. If I want exposure to Canadian oil and gas, you get some here, but you also get exposure to utility. So wouldn't I rather own a pure play E&P company in Canada? Or if I want to own a utility, I go buy a utility company. So you're getting diversity here, and that may be your end game, and it's fine. It's a good company, nice 6.4% yield. But it's not the best on either side, and that's why I would just be looking elsewhere. We own a couple of Canadian oil energy companies that we like much better than Enbridge. And they're pure plays. So that's what I'd be looking for. So I'm going to pass on Enbridge because I don't like that kind of very, very different types of businesses. A utility is very safe, consistent, great. That's what you're looking for. Oil companies, it's all about upside, right? Upside of, and capturing the upside of oil companies, of oil price and energy prices. You're not going to get that in spades here where you can with others. So I would find an alternative. Now, the stock market is constantly changing, so you probably have finance and investment questions you'd like answered. And that's why I'm here. You set the agenda. So we're taking your calls live on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. With total downloads nearing 50 million, each InvestTalk podcast should be one of your key financial planning and educational tools. InvestTalk is a free download, and hosts Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to provide their unbiased guidance and professional analysis developed from real-time data research and years of investing experience. 24/7, rain or shine, during smooth sailing or on rough weather days, the InvestTalk listener line is open and waiting for your questions. You set the agenda. Don't forget to call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy and discipline. Justin Klein is here and ready to take your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my main focus point concerns the question about valuation and should you put aside your fear of a recession, which is all around the headlines, and focus more on the parts of the market that are so cheap that even a recession shouldn't bother them too much because it's mostly priced in. You know, a lot of analysts are looking at that and saying, okay, and investors saying, hey, we're likely to have a recession in 2023. And I don't disagree with that. But if you look at certain slices of the market, the debate around, they're so cheap that the debate around a recession is nearly irrelevant. And so by focusing on those slices, you can set the odds in your favor. And what you have to realize is that when there's been a lot of bad news, more often than not, bad news is a contrarian indicator. Now, when things have been going well for a long period of time and things just start to get bad, you know, that's a sign that, you know, the economy's turned. But the economy turned at least a year ago, and the headlines have been getting worse and worse. So what does that mean? It means that the market is discounted a lot, maybe all of it, in certain parts of the market. And if you look ahead, 2 years from recession lows in the market, 75% of the gains in the market have been posted by the time that recession is over. So by the time everyone says, oh, recession is over, big gains have been already made. So don't wait for good news because you'll probably miss it. And there are parts of the market that are very cheap and there are parts of the market that still remain unattractive generally. Hint, hint, technology still remains relatively unattractive. So the more visible a recession typically is, the more likely it has been discounted in advance. And that's really what you see here. Now, since the peak in January of last year, equities have dropped about 25% to their lows, and stocks have never gone down 25% before recession was about to hit. And it just shows you that, hey, this is well signaled in the marketplace. Now, the first sign that we are at relatively attractive levels is the spread in valuation between the most expensive 25% of the market and the cheapest 25% of the market. And that spread widens when there's the most fear. And we saw that in October. At the end of 2022, valuation spreads for the S&P were at historically wide levels, landing in the top 25% of historical readings. Now, looking back to 1990, those valuation spreads had higher average returns for the coming 12 months than any other quartile. So that's number one in general. Now, what slice of the market, you know, start to drill down into kind of tighter parts of the market? Number one would be mid-cap stocks. And if you look at the relative spread in valuation between mid-cap and large-cap, to the bottom 25%, and the lowest level seen since early 2000s. So the valuations support that you could see mid-caps beat large-caps by double-digit percentage points. Now, this could also mean just large-caps have not come down enough. That's part of it. So it doesn't mean that both have to have positive returns and suddenly mid-caps are going to have these great returns. You could see over the next 12, 24 months, mid-caps up mid-single digits, but large-caps continue to, you know, have multiple contraction and go down in value. I think it's probably more the case. Now you dig in different sectors, basic material stocks. They're going back to data from to 1976. 90% of the time, material stocks have been more expensive. So this is the cheapest 10% they've ever been. And it shows that the sector is likely to outperform the market by about 15% over the next 12 months. That's what the data is saying. What are the sectors? Financial stocks. That's an area that is in the bottom 10% of cheapness in history. And then consumer cyclicals. This is where I'm a bit less bullish on, just because I think there's more reversion to the mean there when you're looking at PE ratios, as opposed to financial stocks and basic materials didn't have that big boost up nearly as much as those consumer cyclicals. So mid caps, financials, and And basic materials. Those are good places to be. Now we're heading into a break, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
You're building your financial future, but you must have finance and investment questions. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley are ready to provide their unbiased answers. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Eric from San Diego. Just had a question on CVS today. I got notification that it has fallen below its 52-week low here, and just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were, if it still had room to go lower, or if this would be a good buying point. But looking forward to the answer, and thanks for everything you guys do. All right, bye.
All right, looking at CVS Health, and it did hit its 52-week low yesterday, but had a nice, strong bounce back today, up about 2.25%. Back above some major support area, right around $80, $85, $86 in change, closed at $87.67 today. And I think a lot of this is worries on the insurance market, but they aren't heavily reliant on Medicare, which is something that is a lot of the other insurance companies, kind of what I talked about yesterday. They don't have a ton of exposure on that front. And obviously they have their chain of pharmacies and drugstores, convenience stores, et cetera, which is the vast majority of their revenue. So I think that's what's weighing on the stock in the near term. They have very strong cash flow, trailing 12 months, $20 billion on a $300 billion market. Excuse me, what's the market cap here? $115 billion market cap, sorry. So we find CVS attractive, especially down in the mid-80s here. So I'm going to give CVS a thumbs up. We actually own it for clients. Let's keep things moving and play two in a row from our 24/7 listener line at 888-99-CHART.
I've just got a question about transferring either cash or equities from individual taxable account into a Roth IRA. I'm assuming if I transfer cash, it's just going to be deducted from my 6,000 cap for the year. But I'm wondering what happens if I transfer shares or a whole position. Does it get deducted from my max contribution at the value of it at the time I trade it? Or is there any considerations or things to think about when transferring things over like that? Thank you guys very much. Appreciate all you do. Have a good one.
Good question. This is easy. You can only fund a Roth IRA with cash. Now you can move, you can combine IRAs, if you have multiple IRAs, you can combine them all together into one. Now you don't want to commingle Roth and traditional IRA assets unless you're doing a Roth conversion of some type. But you can't do that. I know a lot of people try to get around that or whatever, but you have to use liquid cash into a Roth IRA. Then you can go buy whatever equities you want, etc. But you need to do it with cash. You can't just transfer the equities in. Thanks for the call. Now, it feels good to take your questions, so we'll play another one. That's three in a row on InvestTalk at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name is Vishnu from New Jersey. I want to know what's your opinion on RXD. That's Rackspace Technology. It's R as in Romeo, X as in X-ray, T as in Tango. Thank you.
All right, looking at Rackspace Technologies. This is a name that went public in 2020 and has been in decline ever since, pretty much. It IPO'd in the teens, now is at $3 and change. Let's Let's see. Just pulling up some data. Actually, $2.93 currently today. $618 million market cap. And this is all because of earnings continue to slide. When they went public, they were making 74 cents a share in 2020, 97 cents a share in 2021. Well, 2022 expected to be full year earnings, 53 cents, down 45%. And this year, so it's get even worse, only make 8 cents, down 85% from last year's earnings. And last quarter, revenues were up 3%, profits down 60%. So this is it's a cloud software company, let's just say that. And clearly their business is not as rosy as everyone or that they wanted it to look back when they went public. And so that's my issue here is their business continues to deteriorate. And I ask why? Why are their operating margins down to 1.2% from 4% back in 2020? Technicals are terrible, below all the major moving averages. I mean, look, any debt? Yeah, they have a lot of debt on their balance sheet here, about $3.3 billion. This, to me, looks like it's headed for bankruptcy. Simple as that, man. Maybe not tomorrow or next month or next quarter. Maybe not even next year. But I don't like the trends of the business, and I hate those debt levels. So I'm passing on Rackspace Technologies. Thanks for the call. Now I'm going to take another break, but I will welcome your questions now. No question is too simple or too complex. We are here to answer whatever's on your mind. You set the agenda on Invest Talk. So give us a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
One of the most rewarding things I do each weekday is host the Invest Talk podcast. I truly enjoy helping investors, and I know that every question counts and every answer I provide will be unbiased. So as long as your questions involve the stock market or general investment topics and definitions, we set no limits. You, the caller, get to chart the course for each Invest Talk podcast. Justin and I are ready. Are you? Call with your questions anytime, day or night, 888-99-CHART.
We're going to go to Roberto in San Jose. He wants to talk about Party City, correct? Alberto, excuse me.
Hello?
Alberto, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. You're looking at Party City?
Yeah, I know it filed for bankruptcy last week. So would it come back as previously, I know Hertz also did, went filed for bankruptcy and it came back. will Party City eventually start trading again? I know it's not trading now.
Yeah, usually what happens is they go through reorganization, they negotiate with creditors, and the creditors become their shareholders. The current shareholders get nothing. So, yes, they'll start trading again, but do you own some shares?
Bought a small position a couple of weeks back, nothing major.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably going to get nothing. So it's not like, yes, it might trade again, but doesn't mean you're the owner anymore. It means your position as the equity holder currently is very likely to be wiped out. Meaning all the creditors will be the shareholders. That's typically how this works. So don't have any saving grace that you're going to get any of your money back. I would go sell it. You're going to get 12 cents a share currently. And take your losses, take your lumps, and make this have this be a lesson to not follow. I don't know where you got the idea, but to focus on companies who have sustainable business models and reasonably strong balance sheets. And Party City is certainly not one of those. And that's why they went bankrupt. So take this as a lesson. Go sell it if you can. And move on. Thanks for the call. That's a lesson, everybody out there. Don't fall in love with names. Don't buy something because your friend talked about it, or you read an article about it, or you saw it on social media. Do your due diligence. Look at the company's financials. Not just today, but going back in history. And historically, Party City has not been very profitable. And then you're a time where in-person events are not happening very often. So less parties to be planned. And when you have a structural shift in demand for your end products, and you have a lot of debt on your balance sheet, suddenly that debt can no longer be serviced. And that is a recipe for bankruptcy. And that's what happened with Party City. Right. Now pivoting over to another dumpster fire, and that would be the crypto market. And what's interesting here is that there are many crypto names that are trying to go public. Companies like Bullish Global, Circle Internet Finance, and eToro. And they've all been filing with the SEC to get approval to go public. And to merge with a SPAC. Shocker, right? Special Purpose Acquisition Company. And even companies like Galaxy Digital, which is the parent of GBTC. They've been trying to go public since March of 2021. But the SEC is asking a lot of questions for disclosure purposes. And they have not received the answers that they feel comfortable with. And it's got even worse since the bankruptcy of FTX and the bear market in crypto assets. Now, crypto firms say digital assets aren't securities. Well, the SEC begs to differ. And most importantly, the SEC chairman, Gary Gensler. Now, the SEC says it has to feel confident with disclosures, and it has to deem the company's disclosure, quote, effective. And their answers so far to those disclosures have not risen to the level where they see it as effective, because there's a lot of unknowns within the space. And they've kind of learned their lessons. Look what happened with Coinbase. When Coinbase went public, they sent a letter and they asked about 10 different questions. Well, Galaxy, when they went public, they asked 90 different questions. And companies like eToro, where you can buy stocks on eToro, But that's not the majority of where the revenue comes from. Majority of the revenue comes from trading crypto. 63% of the commissions and interest income comes from crypto as of the first half of 2021. So the SEC's job, even though they're not very good at protecting investors, this is an easy target. So I think it's a time where you're kind of cut off. The whole industry is cut off until there's more stability and understanding what happened to FTX, how to bring in safeguards, etc. They don't want another Coinbase. Coinbase went public, it was hit at $425 a share. What is that now? 53, and that's after rallying dramatically recently. So the good thing is, hey, SEC's waking up. The bad news is the horse, in many cases, has already left the barn. Let's go to Richard in the Bay Area looking at Archer Daniels Midland.
Hey, Justin. I own it, and I'm wondering if it's stopping now and maybe it would be a good time to sell it and move on to something else. Tied into that question, like, are agricultural commodities, are they, like, so do they perform similarly to material commodities? So I understand that material commodities, probably there's going to be high demand on for the next 5-10 years because of many factors. But do you anticipate agricultural commodities to follow the same pattern?
No, I don't. They're very different, right? These would be soft commodities. That's what grains are typically, right? Your agriculture are typically soft commodities, whereas metals and mining are your harder commodities. So very different supply-demand dynamics around the world. And Archer Daniels Midland, while good, I think their business is waning. You can see that earnings this year are supposed to drop 15%, and then down another 3% next year. And so it's rallied dramatically from the March 2020 lows, around $30, to $84.90 today. And that's after falling 14% off its recent highs. And technically, now it's below all the major moving averages. It's consolidating bearishly, probably for another move lower. So I don't lump it in with the metal and mining space, which is probably the most attractive within the basic materials area. So I would be selling it and moving on. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
No problem. Now, there's no denying that this is a new market environment, but you can't wait to make your adjustments. Time will march on, and eventually, one day, retirement will come, and either you will make the proper adjustments or you won't. And so successful investors need to make the adjustments that fit their ultimate goals, the risk tolerance levels, and the current market conditions in order to build a financial future that they can have confidence in. So if you need help understanding whether that path you're on aligns with all those factors, well, I encourage you to reach out to myself or Steve Peasley at our company, KPP Financial, where we practice parallel investing. And we invest right alongside our clients. And we operate the same philosophy, which is independent thinking and shared success. So I encourage you to reach out for our free portfolio review assessment via telephone or GoToMeeting. To send us a message through investtalk.com or give our office a call at 800-557-5461. The sooner you reach out to us, the sooner we can help get your portfolio optimized. Now, this is InvestTalk, Steve Peasley, and I thank you for participation and helping us achieve over 49 million downloads since our beginning. And that's thanks to you. So next up, we're going to play another listener question from 888-99-CHART. So hang on.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. InvestTalk is a free download. Your participation makes it unique. Don't forget to call. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Justin and Steve. This is Tony from Louisville. I was wondering if I could sneak two oversold stocks into one question. Are these good buys at today's prices? One ticker symbol is PPC for Pilgrim's Pride Corporation, and the other is HD for Home Depot. Hey, thanks for all you guys do. Bye.
All right, two different types of companies. Pilgrim's Pride produces prepared and fresh chicken here in the U.S., Mexico, and Puerto Rico. So their business is relatively consistent, although the price that they get for the what is essentially a raw commodity does go up and down, and they're a price taker. So in general, not a fantastic company to own, but near term, I think it's going to do relatively well. But I don't like the historical profitability return assets, only around 4 or 5%. Not fantastic. And they do have a decent amount of debt on their balance sheet. So long term, I would probably pick Home Depot over Pilgrim's Pride. But near term, I'd probably pick Pilgrim's Pride. Why? Because Home Depot is set for, I think, a continued slump in earnings. This year, earnings are expected to be up 7%. I think that's wildly optimistic. Yeah, there's a lot of pent-up demand for a lot of people trying to get things done over the past couple of years. But the flip market, where Home Depot gets a lot of its demand, that's almost dead. Because prices are going down, the cost of carrying the home are much higher. And prices for those homes haven't come down there very much. So they're going to lose the vast majority of that market. So you continue to see analysts downgrade earnings for Home Depot. And sales growth continue to slow. So that's why I would, frankly, I'd pass on both of them. Home Depot is a much better company longer term, but I think there's just more reversion of the mean set, because this is a housing market that isn't turning around in the next quarter or two. You're going to get little bumps up, and you've seen that recently with rates come down a little bit. You're getting a little bit of life in the housing market, but still meager compared to the sales trends pre-pandemic. And Home Depot remains relatively expensive compared to its historical valuations. And Pilgrim's Pride, I just don't love the inconsistency of its business, even though it's consistently profitable, but that vacillates widely. So I'm going to go no on either. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on small businesses. And what's interesting here is, with all the layoffs in corporate America, especially the tech industry, small businesses remain big net hires. Since February of 2020, small businesses, those are locations with 250 employees or less, have hired 3.67 million more people than they've laid off or have quit. Larger companies over 250 employees have cut a net 800,000 jobs during that time. And this is interesting to me, because you would think it would be the opposite, right? The companies, those big companies getting PPC money, cheap capital for the most part, you would think they'd continue to hire. They'd be the bedrock of our economy and our job market. That's not the case. And this is something the Fed certainly is keeping an eye on, because they want to break the market a little bit. But the small business is mighty strong. And according to the Small Business Administration, small business generated about 2 out of every 3 jobs over the past 25 years. And right now, small businesses account for 78% of U.S. job listings. And what's interesting here is it's getting worse, that spread between the large companies and the small ones. Why? Because small businesses, they're used to not having easy access to capital. The large businesses, not so much. So now that harder to issue bonds, more expensive too. You can't really issue shares very easily in the equity markets. Those large corporations don't have that easy flow of capital. And so I think the years of the big guys beating up on the little guys are evening the playing field with these this higher interest rate environment, which I think is very interesting. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do it right now at 888-99-CHART.
Each day, Invest Talk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for Invest Talk at iTunes, and be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Paige. I wonder if you could tell me your thoughts about Otis Worldwide. Otis Worldwide in the current climate, OTIS. Back in 2020, you let us know that it was going to IPO, the elevator company. And I've kind of been curious to watch it since then, wondering what price you would consider buying it and where it fit in the current cycle. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, this is Otis Worldwide, and yes, this is one of the largest manufacturers of elevators, escalators, and other moving products, and about $34 billion market cap, fairly minimal debt considering its size. Nice 1.4% yield, payout ratio that is only around 36%, which means there's some room for that to increase. And they have a very consistent business. Operating cash flow trailing 12 months is about $1.4 billion, although that has been trending lower from its 2021 peak, which is about $1.9 billion. So that's one worry. And if you look at its earnings, revenues last two quarters were negative, and earnings growth continues to slow. So I do think it's a bit expensive. I like the company. It's certainly on our watch list. But I think it's on the expensive side, considering where earnings are and where they are likely headed. And I worry a lot about the office market. So how many new elevators are they selling? And, you know, because a lot of these elevators, escalators that go into commercial properties, big office buildings, malls, etc. That's slowing down in a big, big way, because there's going to be a glut of commercial properties out there. Now, there's definitely going to be a lot of companies or properties that are being retrofitted and changed based on our changing economy, right? More towards residential and away from your strip malls, for example, and your traditional malls. And the demand for things like luxury apartments, which a lot of them have elevators in. So I think you're near the top of the cycle, and I think it's not going to be great for Otis over the next few years, because it's pretty tied to real estate, and in a lot of ways, commercial real estate and multifamily real estate, both markets that I think are ready for disappointment as opposed to upside surprises. So it's definitely a name that's on my watch list as the largest global OEM manufacturer of elevators. Anyway, they do make money off of services, so servicing elevators, and that's consistent, and that's why I like that. But the big part of selling elevators, escalators, I think that is ebbing. So a name to keep on your watch list, but you're in the wrong part of the cycle to be buying this. Now let's fit in another caller question right now at 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, I was looking to make a play on nickel, as it seems as if there is a supply shortage. So I was looking at BHP Group Limited, ticker BHP. Want to know what you guys thought was. So yeah, I'll listen on the podcast.
Yeah, looking at BHP, one of the largest globally diversified miners in the world, huge market cap, $180 billion. And I like the idea of a nickel play. The problem here is that it's such a small percentage of their business. I forget exactly. I haven't looked recently what a percentage of their business is. But this is very well diversified, right? They have onshore oil and gas assets. What else do they have there? Iron ore, copper, metallurgical coal. And I would be buying it more for that than nickel. It's a nice little boost, but it's just a small percentage of their overall revenue. But it's a good way to get some exposure. Unfortunately, with nickel, it's a difficult thing to get a pure play. There aren't really pure play nickel producers that are in safe jurisdictions, that are listed on major exchanges. It is not a great way to get exposure there. But as your broad exposure to commodities and basic materials, not a bad place to be. Not our favorite within the space, but definitely a good one. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening. And we encourage you to tell your friends and family about a free podcast download they can find anytime at iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And please be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.